ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासम् ततो जयम् उदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। मुखं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे श्रीगुरुदीनतारिणि परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरम्। नमो विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीति नामिने। नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे। नमो महाविधन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नाम्ने गौरक्षे नमः। पञ्चतत्त्वात्मकं कृष्णं भक्तरूप स्वरूपकं भक्तावतारं भक्ताख्यं नमामि भक्तशक्तिकं। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते। तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये। वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वेलकम। So Bhagavatam, first canto, we ended with Maharaj Parikshit renouncing everything, coming on to the banks of Ganges, and all the great sages from all around the world, they came in that area, and Maharaj Parikshit is inquiring what should be the goal of life or what is the duty of a person who is about to die. So we'll start with from where we left. Shukdev Goswami arrives in that area, and as Shukdev Goswami came, Parikshit Maharaj got up from his seat. He received Shukdev Goswami, washed his feet, gave him a nice seat, nice asana to sit. And what is Parikshit Maharaj saying? How is he approaching Shukdev Goswami? Parikshitu vacha aho adya vayam brahmana satsevaya shatrabandhava kripaya tithi rupena bhavdibhi artikah kritaha. So Shukdev Goswami was received nicely, was given a very nice seat. Parikshit Maharaj washed his feet, bowing down in front of him, showing great humility. He is saying, by just remembering you, house becomes sanctified. By just remembering you. And what to speak of having your darshan, having the opportunity to wash your feet, having the opportunity to personally serve you. It's a great fortune, even though I am a very fallen person. Shatrabandhava, how is he addressing himself, Parikshit Maharaj? He is saying, I am a very low class Kshatriya, fallen Kshatriya. And why is Parikshit Maharaj telling himself to be a lowly or a fallen Kshatriya? He is thinking, I have committed a great offense, that I have insulted a sadhu, insulted a great sage, Samik Rishi, by putting a dead snake in his neck. So what had happened in the past? As Parikshit Maharaj was going through the forest, he felt very thirsty and he went into the ashram of Samik Rishi. Generally the custom is, when a guest comes, they are received nicely. Even though the brahmanas, the great sages, they will welcome the kshatriyas, the kings, in their ashram. But Parikshit Maharaj, even though he was very thirsty, and Shamik Rishi, he did not get up from his seat, did not offer him any water, did not welcome him, did not speak to him anything. So Parikshit Maharaj, he got little upset in his mind. He thought, this person looks like he is faking. I don't think he is completely absorbed in meditation, but he is just faking, and I should honor this person by appropriately garlanding him with a dead snake. So Parikshit Maharaj took a dead snake in that area and put it as a garland in Samik Rishi's neck. And then Parikshit Maharaj left that ashram. But as soon as he came out of the ashram, immediately he felt, oh, what did I do? Why I acted like that? This is not appropriate for me. He is a great sage and he is completely absorbed in his meditation. I have offended a great sage. So what is the position of Parikshit Maharaj, even though he himself is considering to be a very fallen Kshatriya? But is he really a fallen person? What is the position of Parikshit Maharaj? So first of all, did he really commit a mistake? Or what was his position?
Emperor of the world.
He was the emperor of the world. So that was the whole arrangement of Lord Krishna, to cover him with his yoga maya potency, so that he committed that sort of act through Parikshit Maharaj, so that Bhagavatam could be spoken. As Lord Krishna put Arjuna into that situation to bewilder him, so that through him Bhagavad Gita can be presented to the whole world. So through Arjuna, by putting him in that situation, Lord Krishna gave Bhagavad Gita. And by putting Parikshit Maharaj in that situation, by creating that scenario, through him now Bhagavatam is going to come out for the benefit of the whole human society. And Parikshit Maharaj actually immediately thought, I have committed offense, and whatever happens to me, I am ready to accept that. So when he heard the news that I have been cursed, to die in 7 days by the biting of Takshaka, flying snake. He did not think that, oh, I am the emperor of the world, I have great power, I have great weapons, I have a big army, I can appoint many great brahmanas to counteract this curse. He immediately accepted that I am ready to go through whatever is destined for me. And he did not think, let me go back to Samikrishi and offer my apologies to him. Because he thought, if I go back to Samikrishi, it will be kind of humiliating to him also. Because Samikrishi himself, when he heard that my son has cursed Parikshit Maharaj, he did not approve the act of his son, Sringi. Sringi was just a mere boy, a teenager. And when he came to know my father has been offended by Parikshit Maharaj, he immediately touched the waters, holy waters, and gave a curse. You will be killed by the biting of a Takshaka bird. And when Samikrishi heard this, he did not approve the act of his son. He said, no, you have done wrong by cursing Parikshit Maharaj. He is such a great emperor. Who will rule the world? Who will take care of all the citizens? So Parikshit Maharaj renounced everything and he came to the banks of Ganges. And now all the sages have assembled. Shukdev Goswami has arrived. And Parikshit Maharaj is saying, I am a very low class Kshatriya. He is taking a very humble position and inquiring from Shukdev Goswami. So what was the other great position of Parikshit Maharaj? So Prabhu said he was the emperor of the world. What is the greatness of Parikshit Maharaj?
Saved by Lord Krishna.
He is personally protected by Lord Krishna. When Ashwatthama shot the Brahmastra, so actually when Ashwatthama had killed the 5 sons of Pandavas, mistaking them to be Pandavas, so Arjuna went in search of Ashwatthama, and at that time, to protect himself, Ashwatthama shot Brahmastra. And you know how many Brahmastra Ashwatthama shot? Was it 1 Brahmastra, 2 Brahmastra, how many Brahmastra?
6.
6 Brahmastra. Ashwatthama shot 6 Brahmastra, 5 for the 5 Pandavas, and the 6th one to kill the last progeny of the Pandavas. Parikshit in the womb of Uttara. So he shot 6 Brahmastra. And Arjuna, even though he also knew to shoot Brahmastra, but Krishna thought Arjuna will not be able to counter all these 6 Brahmastra. So even though Arjuna shot his Brahmastra, but actually it's Krishna who sent his Sudarshan Chakra to fight these Brahmastra, to counter these Brahmastra. And Krishna's Sudarshan Chakra countered 5 Brahmastra which was coming towards the 5 Pandavas. Now why only 5 Brahmastra? Was Sudarshan Chakra not capable enough to fight another 6th Brahmastra? Was it like, generally we have that scenario, you buy an antivirus. An antivirus comes with the plan, you can either install it on 3 laptops, 3 devices or 5 devices, there is a limit. Right, beyond that you cannot put it onto many other devices. So was Sudarshan Chakra also having that kind of a limitation that it can counter only maximum 5 Brahmastra? No, Sudarshana did not have any limitation, but to protect Parikshit in the womb of Uttara, Lord Krishna personally entered into the womb of Uttara, taking gada and chakra in his hand, he is so fast, he is moving his gada and chakra, his gada basically, it feels like the Sudarshan chakra is going on. So Krishna, he gave darshan to Parikshit Maharaj when he was still in the womb of his mother. So that is how special is Parikshit Maharaj. And then on top of that, Parikshit is mentioned here that he increased the glories of his forefathers. Now Pandavas, we consider Pandavas to be very glorious because they were cousins of Krishna. Krishna was friend to Arjuna. He was personally there and personally serving. He took the role of chariot driver for Arjuna. So Pandavas in that way are considered very glorious. But in Bhagavatam, in the beginning chapters, we read Parikshit Maharaj is mentioned as Manvardhana. He increased the glory of the Pandavas. Now everybody may have that experience. If somebody is in your family lineage very glorious, to surpass that glory, maybe you have to do something even greater than that to be considered more glorious. So Parikshit Maharaj must have done something. He had a special favor of Krishna. He is mentioned here that he surpassed the glory. He increased the glory of Pandavas. But Parikshit Maharaj is taking a very, very humble position. What is he telling to Shukdev Goswami? That it is because of Krishna's mercy that you have come here in this assembly. Otherwise, how come in the whole world that you will reach this place, wandering around in the whole world, you will come to this place? Give us your darshan. Give us the opportunity to serve you. It is Lord Krishna's mercy. He has directed you to come here. Because Shukdev Goswami does not stay at one place for long enough. And how long he stays at one place? Anybody remembers? Time duration enough to milk the cow. And that is the time, how long he stays at one place. But Parikshit Maharaj is saying, you have come here, it is the mercy of Krishna only. Otherwise you don't even stay at one place long enough, longer than milking the cow. Now what is this time duration of milking the cow?
15-20 minutes.
It may be 15-20 minutes. Mm-hmm. But generally that is the time unit. At that time, how to measure the time. Jaise kai baar hota hai Vrindavan jao aap agar. If you go to Vrindavan and from Krishna Balram temple, if you want to go in the Goshala, you ask how far is Goshala. What is the time calculation given? How far is Goshala? Just keep walking, keep chanting. Jab tak do mala ho jayegi, pahunch jaoge aap Goshala. So it will take 2 mala time to reach Goshala. So milking the cow here, what is considered here? Now in Bhagavatam, it's mentioned Shukdev Goswami did not stay long than milking the cow. But nowhere it is mentioned in Bhagavatam that he went there to drink the milk. So, aisa nahi hai ki Shukdev Goswami ko 11 baje bhookh lagi to kisi ke ghar pe gaya. He went at somebody's house, let me get some milk. And they may have told him that milking time is 4 o'clock in the evening. So, just wait. So, he is staying there until the cow is milked. So, it's nothing like that. This is just a time calculation, how much time take, he doesn't stay. And the purpose also, he goes to somebody's house is not to drink the milk, just to give his mercy to that householder. So Sukhdev Goswami has arrived, Parikshit Maharaj very humbly submits to him. So now he asks the question to Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj asks the question to Sukhdev Goswami. So Bhagavatam, Lord Krishna mentions, if we really want to understand the transcendental subject matters. What is the process? Chapter 4, text 34. Any scholars here? What is the verse? Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Updeshyanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshina. If you really want to understand the Supreme Lord in Tattva, what is the process? Tadviddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. So there are three things mentioned here. What are the three things? Paripatena. What is paripatena? Inquiring will come. Pariprashnena. That is inquiring with humility. Pariprashnena. Prashna means asking question. Pariprashnena means asking with humility, not with a challenging mood. That, oh, I know, but I want to check your knowledge. That's why I'm asking. So that is not the right way of asking. So asking with humility, I want to understand. Can you please explain? And then paripatena, first falling down at their feet, offering obeisances. So paripatena, pariprashnena, sevaya, rendering service to them. So Parikshit Maharaj has done paripatena, he has done sevaya. He offered his respects to Shukdev Goswami, he served him nicely, and now he is asking question. Pariprashnena. And what is his question? What is he asking now? So please tell me, what is the duty of everyone in all circumstances? Now here also very beautiful thing to observe. Parikshit Maharaj is in a very particular situation. His situation is he is going to die in 7 days. So he could have asked a very tailor, custom-made question. Please tell me, what should I do? I am about to die in 7 days. Tell me, what should I do? But he is not asking about himself. What is his question? Please tell me, what is the duty of all the people in all circumstances? And then specially for someone who is about to die. अपने बारे में नहीं पूछ रहे हैं कि अब मुझे बताइए मुझे क्या करना है दुनिया जाए भाड़ में मुझे दूसरों से क्या लेना देना राइट मैं 7 दिन में मरने वाला हूं कुछ उपाय बताइए क्या करना है बट परीक्षित महाराज इज सेइंग व्हाट इज द ड्यूटी ऑफ ऑल द मैन इन ऑल सर्कमस्टांसेस एंड स्पेशली वन हु इज अबाउट टू डाई And you are the spiritual master of the great saints and devotees. I am therefore begging you to show the perfection, the way of perfection for all person, especially one who is about to die. And his third question. So what were the two questions? First two question, duty of all men in all circumstances. Second question, duty of somebody who is about to die. Third question, please tell what a man should hear, chant, remember and worship, and also what he should not do. Please explain all this to me. So that is Pariprashnena. Parikshit Maharaj has submitted his question, and that is where the first canto of Bhagavatam stops. Second canto of Bhagavatam starts, Shukdev Goswami, for the first time, he is about to speak. So far, Shukdev Goswami has not spoken. So Shukdev Goswami is going to speak now. And his first words. What are his first words? Shri Shuka Uvacha Varyane Shate Prashna Krito Loka Hitam Nirpaha Atmavita Sammataha Pumsa Shrotavyadishu Yahparaha Badiya Prashna. हम लोग बोलते हैं बहुत बढ़िया शुकदेव गोस्वामी इज यूजिंग सेम वर्ड वरिया नेश ते प्रश्न योर क्वेश्चन इज वेरी ग्लोरियस अ ग्रेट क्वेश्चन यू हैव आस्क्ड व्हाई बिकॉज इट इज बेनिफिशियल फॉर ऑल काइंड ऑफ पीपल The answer to this question is the prime subject matter for hearing. This is not me speaking. So that is Shukdev Goswami saying, it's not that I am speaking this. It is Atmavit Sammataha. This is the opinion of all the great transcendentalists. So your question is great. Everybody should hear the answer to this question. So Prabhupada write actually in the purport 1.1.4. First chapter, first canto, first chapter, fourth verse. In the purport to that, Prabhupada writes one very beautiful thing. What is the definition of a saintly person? So Prabhupada writes, the great sages are always anxious to do good to the people in general. And as such, the sages headed by Shaunaka and others assembled at this holy place of Nameshwaranya with a program of performing a great and continuous chain of sacrificial ceremonies. Forgetful men do not know the right path for peace and prosperity. However, the sage know it well, and therefore for the good of all men, they are always anxious to perform acts which may bring about peace in the world. They are sincere friends to all the living entities, and at risk of great personal inconvenience, they are always engaged in the service of the Lord for the good of all people. So who is a saintly person? Who is not considering his personal comfort by undergoing great inconvenience. He is engaged in the welfare for all. He is engaged in the service of the Supreme Lord for the good of all people. And that is what Parikshit Maharaj is. He is not thinking about himself. He is thinking, in that situation also, he is thinking about everybody. How the whole world can be delivered. What is good for everybody? So now we should consider, we should compare ourselves. What is our scenario? What is our situation? Are we thinking about our problems only? Are we always considering what is my problem? What is the solution to my problem? Or are we thinking about the problems of other people? If we are thinking about the problems of other, are we just thinking about their problem, or are we thinking about the solution to their problems? Are we just thinking about the solution to their problems, give them just some advice and that's it, oh, you figure out, I told you what to do, now it's your headache, you figure out. Or are we trying to do something to help them, undergoing some personal inconvenience, taking some discomfort? Are we stepping out of our comfort zone and go help them? Or just offering them some verbal solution? So, following into the footstep of all these great people, great sages, falling into the footstep of Parikshit Maharaj, we should think, what am I doing? Am I trying to help others? By even if I have to undergo some personal inconvenience. So devotees, they invite people to their homes. We are organizing all these programs. What is the whole agenda behind this? Does it take effort, first of all? How many of you have tried inviting 5 people at your home? How much effort is that? Is it effort or no effort? Cleaning up the house and making everything proper, organized and all. So it takes quite a bit of time, right? So doing that itself, that's a personal inconvenience. So devotees who are able to host programs at their home. So yesterday, Shalu Mataji, Rajneesh Prabhu, they hosted program at their home, Bhakti Vriksha program, inviting 40-50 people at their home. It takes a lot of effort. Cleaning the house, cooking, and both of them working. It's a great deal of work. But if somebody is doing that, coming out of your personal comfort, for the welfare of everybody. So we should respect, we should appreciate that. And think, am I able to do that for others? So asking, hearing the question of Parikshit Maharaj, Shukdev Goswami said, this question is glorious. It is a prime subject matter for everybody to hear. Now Shukdev Goswami is glorifying Parikshit Maharaj. Parikshit Maharaj is glorifying Shukdev Goswami. Both of them are in exchange glorifying each other. And that is the whole, throughout Bhagavatam you will see like that. Wherever there is a speaker and a listener, they are both reciprocating and glorifying each other. Shuta Goswami and all the Shanaka Rishis, that scenario. Then Maitreya Rishi and Vidura. Maitreya is glorifying Vidura, Vidura is glorifying Maitreya. So throughout Bhagavatam, this is going on. So generally we say, who is able to answer the question, we glorify that person. Right? Oh, he is able to answer. One particular point was coming in, like, I guess people all here are from engineering background, is that right? So when you went into an engineering college, for the admission of engineering college, you passed some exam for IIT entrance exam or whatever engineering entrance college exam. So if somebody topped that exam, that person becomes very famous. That person is glorified. Oh, he topped the exam. Such a difficult exam he topped. But seldom we talk about the person who had set the exam. But that person is also glorious in one way, who has set the question paper. Isn't it? Why is that person glorious?
Said something to differentiate
everyone else. Right. Because he has to set a question paper so that it is hard enough that the deserving candidate is able to pass that and differentiate who is eligible to enter into that particular school. And at the same time, he doesn't set the exam so hard that nobody is able to pass through. So he has to set at certain level. So both are glorious. The one who asks the question and the one who is answering the question. So Parikshit Maharaj is asking question. He is glorified by Shukdev Goswami that you are very great. And what is his greatness? We already discussed. He had special mercy of Krishna. He is descendant of Pandavas who were very special to Krishna. So in that way Parikshit is glorified and Shukdev Goswami is glorified. Now this is from where Bhagavatam is actually starting. So Shukdev Goswami is speaking. So what does he speak? Shukdev Goswami is saying, you asked me three questions. And your third question was, tell me what to hear, what to chant, whom to remember, what to worship, whom to worship. And at the same time, what not to chant, what not to hear, what not to remember. Right? What not to do. So Shukdev Goswami is saying, let me first tell you what not to do. We will come to the point what to do later. First, let's discuss what not to do. Shrotavyadini Rajendra Niranam Santi Sahasraha Apashyatam Atmatatvam Griheshu Griham Medhinam. Shukdev Goswami says, you asked me what not to hear. So first let me tell you that. So people who are materially attached, their whole consciousness is centered around home, family, wife, kids. So people who are bereft of Atma Tattva, apashyatam Atma Tattva, who have nothing to do with Atma Tattva, the goal of life. For such people, there are thousands of topics to hear, to speak, to remember. And what are these thousands of topics? Their whole consciousness is centered around the home, the family life. They have so many different topics to discuss. Politics, Bollywood, Hollywood, sports, neighborhood gossip, what new store opened, what new restaurant opened.
Coupons.
Right, kahan par shopping hai, kahan par sale laga hai. So all these various topics are there for people to hear, to remember, to discuss. Because their whole consciousness is centered around the family life, house life. And in scriptures, the two words are used. What are the two words here? Griha Medhinam. That is the one word used. And the opposite to Griha Medhi is Griha Hastha. Grihastha. So, Griheshu Griha Medhinam. Medha. What is Medha? What is Medha?
Merit
and talent. Medha is your intelligence. So, jiska pura intelligence ghar ke upar laga hua hai. Griha Medhi Naam, whose whole intelligence is centered around the family life. Mera bibi, mera bachcha, mera ghar, meri gaadi, mera bank balance. So whose whole consciousness is just centered around that. And on the other side there is Grihastha. Grihasthita Ashrita. Even though he is staying in the family life, but he has taken shelter of the at the lotus feet of the Lord. His goal is to progress towards the Lord while staying in his that particular ashram. So for a Griha Medhi, there are thousands of topics. And what is their whole consciousness? Nidriya hriyate naktam vyavavayena cha vavayah diva charteheya rajan kutumbha bharanena va. The lifetime of such an envious householder is passed at night either in sleeping or sex indulgence. And in the daytime, either in making money or maintaining the family members. Nidra hriyate naktam. So the night time is passed in those activities. Vyavaye na cha va vayah. And the daytime is spent in earning money. Maintaining the family members. Kutumbha bharanena va. Their whole consciousness is centered around how to maintain my family. So even though staying in the family life, there is so much of quarrels, fights, miseries going on, but still one is so much attached to the family life. Isn't it? When we go out, then we present ourselves so nicely. But at the house, there is always fight going on. There is always, what do you call as? Kalaha. So their husband, wife, they fight. But in the evening, they again, oh, that's the way of life. They again just come together. The fight going on between husband, wife, fight going on between the kids and the parents. This whole thing is going on, but still there is so much attachment. Oh no, this is my center of life. So the envious householder, their whole life is spent in that way. As Kabirji says, Rat gawai khaye ke divas gawai, rat gawai soye ke divas gawai khaye, heera janam amol tha, kodi badle jaye. This human form of life is so precious, but we are wasting this human form of life in all these basic activities which are at the animalistic level. The animal also does all that activity. He also manages for his food, he also is taking care of his children. But if after getting the human birth, all the life is spent like that, it's a wastage of life. But what is the house, that particular family person, the person entangled in the family life, what is the nectar he is getting? To do something, there has to be some taste. Kuch toh usme ras aana chahiye, kuch toh juice milna chahiye. So what is the juice he is getting? So Shukdev Goswami says in the next verse, what is the nectar they are getting in this? He says, Deha apatya kalatra adishtva atam se nesha satsvapi tesham pramatto nidhanam pashyannapi na pashyati. The person devoid of atma tattva, they do not inquire into the problems of life. Why? Because they are too busy getting that nectar in this family life. And what is this nectar? Deha, too much attachment to body. Apatya, attachment to the children. Kalatra, attachment to the wife. So attached to these fallible soldiers. Senyeshwa satswapi. So these are like the soldiers. The children, the wife, the family, the body itself, one considers itself to be a soldier. Why they are compared as a soldier? Because as a king goes to the fight, goes to the war, he is thinking, my army, my soldiers, they will save me. So same way, the person in the family life, he is thinking, my wife, my children, my relatives, my friends, they will protect me from all sort of dangers. Even they will save me from death. So that is so much deep conviction the person has. That my these soldiers, they will protect me. Now the person has seen his father die, his father pass away, but he thinks my children will save me. So isn't that amazing? So tesham pramatto nidhanam. So they are maddened by this thing that these family members will be able to protect me, save me. And his whole consciousness is absorbed in them. And he is, why generally people feel more misery? What is the source of misery? Attachments. Okay. Expectations. We have discussed it many times actually. These are all good reasons for misery. What is the topmost reason for misery?
Prabhu Sarvamukha. Not looking towards Krishna.
Not looking towards Krishna, yes, that is ultimate. That is the root cause in terms of ignorance. But generally, log dukhi kyun hote hain?
Old age,
disease, okay.
Envy, lust.
Now we are getting there. Envy.
A lack of inner peace.
Lack of inner peace, yeah. What is the reason of lack of inner peace?
Expectations.
तो लोग अपने दुख से इतना दुखी नहीं है जितना दूसरों को सुखी देखकर दुखी है. So what is the reason of misery? When we see others prosper, when we see others doing better than us, that is the reason of the biggest reason of misery. अपने कोई misery है तो उसको लोग सोचते हैं, अरे ये this is part of life. Budapa aana hai, that is part of life. The problems because of old age, it's okay. But when we see others being happy, when we see others being enjoying, others progressing more than us, then that becomes suffering. There was one family living in a nice neighborhood, nice house. And in that house, one servant was there. She will come to do all the household chores. जैसे होते हैं ना इंडिया में किसी को नौकर रखा है घर पे नौकर रखा हुआ है. They will come do all your work. So this lady will come do all the work. And the owner of this house along with the salary, what is the custom? Generally, sometimes we give old clothes. हमारे बच्चों के कपड़े छोटे हो गए, तुम ले जाओ, तुम्हारे बच्चों के काम आ जाएंगे. So they give the old clothes. Sometimes they will give some old books also. You can go, your child can learn from these old books. So this lady used to give her old clothes and some books and all. So this servant, she had a small child. So he grew up like that, using these old clothes and old books he studied. Finally, he was able to go to the engineering college. He studied engineering, then he got a good job. So when this child, the son of the servant, he got a nice job, he started getting a nice salary. So this lady quit the job, that my son is earning a lot, now he is able to maintain us. And they ended up buying a nice house in that same neighborhood. Just imagine. So they bought the house in the same neighborhood. Now this lady is looking, oh, she used to be my servant. Now she is living in the same colony, same neighborhood, buying a same level of house. Now her status has become like my status. There was an envy. So she told her husband, figure out something. We have to defeat this person. They cannot progress more than us. Husband, what can I do? Her son is working nice job and our son, he did not study well. So he got a nice job. He is earning enough and he is maintaining his family. No, you have to do something. Jo marji karo, chahe bhagwan ki tapasya karo, bhagwan ko prasanna karo, but you have to make these people, bring down these people. So this person, he said, okay, I will go do some aradhana, some tapasya. So he worshipped the Lord. Lord appeared. I will give you what you want, but I will give you double. I will give double to your neighbor. So this person is thinking, oh, my goal is to defeat this, my servant who is to equal status to me now. And he is thinking, so first he asked, I want one bangla. Tathastu, he got one bangla, but the neighbor got two bangla. Earlier already they had a problem that they are living in the same neighborhood. But now he got two, I got one. This is not good. Oh, I want one Mercedes Benz. The neighbor got two. That's again a problem. So this person, my wife will not be happy. If I go home like that, she will say, you brought the bungalow and the car, but the neighbor got two bungalows and two cars. I told you to bring them down, but you gave them even more. So he said, Lord, take away one eye. So meri to ek aankh jayegi, uski dono aankhe jayengi. Right? Lord said, I will give double to the other person. Take away one my leg. मेरा एक जाएगा उसके तो दोनों जाएंगे. So that is the extent of enviousness. People are not willing to help others, but they are willing to harm others, even on the sake of their personal inconvenience. Earlier we read the definition of a saintly person. What was the definition? He is willing to do something good for others by going through personal inconvenience. But out of envy, what do people do? They try to harm others at the sake of their personal inconvenience. Completely opposite. So the consciousness of this Grihamedhi, his whole consciousness is my family, my wife, my kids, how I maintain them. And as if they will help me to surpass this, even the death. So Shukdev Goswami said, these are the topics. One should not get entangled in this. The topics of subjects matter for all these Grihamedhis. So what should then other people do in general? What should person do? Tasmat Bharta Sarvatma Bhagwan Ishwaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyascha Chetabhayam. If somebody really want to become fearless, Ichchata Abhayam. Abhaya means to become fearless. If somebody is desirous of becoming fearless, what should one do? तस्मात् भारत सर्वात्मा भगवान ईश्वरो हरि. ही शुड हियर अबाउट, चैंट अबाउट एंड रिमेंबर द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड हरि हु इज सर्वात्मा. ही इज द सुपर सोल इन एवरीबडीज हार्ट. ही इज भगवान. ही इज ईश्वर इन ऑल सर्कमस्टांसेस एट ऑल टाइम. So at all time, in all circumstance, one should hear about, chant about, remember the Supreme Lord. If somebody is desirous of becoming fearless, if somebody want to become free from all the miseries of life. And now why Shukdev Goswami is stressing the different words to represent the Supreme Lord? There are many synonyms used. सर्वात्मा भगवान ईश्वर दीज आर ऑल रिप्रेजेंट द सेम सुप्रीम लॉर्ड. बट वाई सुखदेव गोस्वामी इज एड्रेसिंग बाय ऑल दीज डिफरेंट टर्मिनोलॉजीज जस्ट टू अट्रैक्ट द माइंड ऑफ एवरीबडी. फॉर एग्जाम्पल ऑल द योगीज, द अष्टांग योगीज, द योगीज हु आर एंगेज इन द मिस्टिक योगा. What is their concern? Will we be able to catch the Supreme Lord as Paramatma in our heart? So to remove their fear, the word used is Sarvatma, the Supreme Lord. He is Sarvatma. He is the super soul in everybody's heart. He will remove your fear. Do not worry. And then he uses the word Bhagwan to attract the minds of all the Raganuga Bhaktas who are in the spontaneous love towards the Supreme Lord. To attract the heart of all these Raganuga Bhaktas, because their fear is, will we be able to attract the attention of the Supreme Lord? Here the word used is Bhagwan. Bhagwan means one who possesses all the opulences. That he possesses all the opulence. He is the most beautiful. He is most attractive. He is most powerful. He is most knowledgeable. He is most renowned. He is having all these various opulences. So he will attract your mind towards himself. So do not worry. Ishwara. To represent all the sadhakas, the Vedi Bhaktas. Vedi Bhakta, they are engaged in all these following rules and regulation, doing the sadhana bhakti, and their fear is, will I be able to control my senses, control my mind and engage myself in the service of the Lord? So by representing the Supreme Lord as Ishwarah, it's mentioned here, Ishwara means he is the controller. Do not worry, he will control your senses and mind. Just surrender unto that Supreme Lord. So in all circumstances, no matter if somebody is a mystic yogi or a sadhana sadhaka or a raganuga bhakta, everybody, what is the duty of everybody in all circumstances? Shrotavya kirtitavyasya smartavyasya ichita bhayam. So one should remember, one should hear about, and one should chant the names of the Supreme Lord. Now one may think that Parikshit Maharaj asked the question for what is good for all people in general. But isn't it Shukdev Goswami is giving a very sectarian answer? He is speaking about as if speaking about the devotees, that you should hear, chant and remember. So these are the three limbs of bhakti. Isn't it? What are the three limbs? What are the Navada Bhakti? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. So these are the three limbs. And that is what Shukdev Goswami is saying. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. So isn't it Shukdev Goswami is giving very sectarian answer? But no, in the next verse, Shukdev Goswami clarifies, I am not speaking about just the Bhaktas. I am speaking about everybody. that that is the duty of everybody. Etavan sankhya yoga bhyam sarva dharma pranishthaya janam labha parapumsa ante narayana smriti. No matter whom, what path one is following, if somebody is following the path of sankhya, somebody is following the path of yoga, ashtanga yoga, somebody is following the path of swadharma, doing his own duties as a karma yoga, no matter what path somebody is following, but if he want to get the success, if he want to get the final goal of his life, what is that? How can that be achieved? Ante Narayana Smriti. At the end, he need to remember the Supreme Lord Narayana. And then all his endeavors can be successful. So no matter, it's not denying all these different paths, that Karma Yoga or Dhyana Yoga or Jnana Yoga, these are wrong paths. So he is accepting all these paths. These paths can lead one to the level of Atma Tattva Jnana. That somebody, I am not the body, I am the soul. But if he really want to get the success of his life, if he want to achieve the goal of his life, that can be attained only if he is able to remember Lord Narayana at the end. Ante Narayana Smriti. And how can one remember Narayana at the end? To be able to remember the Supreme Lord at the end of one's life, throughout the life one has to do something. And what is that something which one need to do? Which is he already mentioned in the previous verse. Shrotavya kirtitavyascha. So one should hear about, chant his name, and then he will be able to remember. Aisa nahi hai ki hum final exam mein jaake bolenge, okay, I will appear in the final exam and I will pass at the time of final exam. But to pass the final exam, right, Kishan? To pass your final exam, do you need to study?
Yes.
Or can you just say, okay, before final exam, I will open the book, just turn all the pages of the books, it will all enter into my brain, I will clear the exam. Doesn't happen like that, right?
Oh no, you're screwed.
You're screwed in that way. So that is today's generation's slang language. You're screwed. Generally we use the screw, or this picture frame is screwed to the wall. So now the word used is screwed, means you mess up. It's waste. So to pass the exam, you need to study throughout the year. You need to attend your lectures, you need to do your homework, submit the assignments, remember your subject matter. Then at the final exam, you go with confidence, you write that exam. Right? The same way, if we want to remember the Supreme Lord, at the end, now as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, antakale cha mameva, so if somebody is able to remember me at the time of death, he will come back to my abode. And somebody thinks, oh, I am very intelligent. Somebody try to do the cheating business, that, oh, I will cheat Krishna, I will remember Krishna at the end. Just at the end, before I am able to, about to die, I will say, Hare Krishna. Done. Goal is achieved. So it doesn't happen like that. To able to say Hare Krishna at the end of your life, at the last breath, you need to practice throughout your life. Because you will remember only those things which you did throughout your life. So here Shukdev Goswami is saying somebody need to remember Lord Narayana at the end of his life. But to do that, one need to hear about, chant the holy name and remember. Then remember the Supreme Lord. Then when he said all these Sankhya Yoga, Karma Yoga, Dhyana Yogis, they also have to ultimately take to this process. Parikshit Maharaj may naturally ask this question. Can you give me some example? That even all these people from these various classes, they had to come to this level of absorbing their mind in remembering the Supreme Lord. And Shukdev Goswami is saying, this is the version of all the transcendentalists. This is not I am saying something. This is everybody, all the great transcendentalists, they say that. Okay, they all say that, but can you give me some example? That somebody was absorbed in some yoga, some other meditation or something, and then they took to the process of hearing about chanting and remembering the Supreme Lord. And then Shukdev Goswami said, why to go far? Look at me. I am the example sitting in front of you. Earlier, I was absorbed in the impersonal transcendence. I was absorbed in the meditation at the impersonal Brahman. I ran away from the house of my father to absorb in the meditation at the impersonal Brahman. Then my father sent his disciple in search of me. They all came to the forest where I was residing. I was doing my meditation. And then they started reciting some shlokas which they had learned from my father. And what is the shloka they recited to attract Shukdev Goswami? Baraha pidam natvara vapu karanayo karanikaram vibhradvasa kanaka kapisham vajantim chamalam randhran venu radhara sudhaya purayena gopa vrindair vrindaranyam swapadaramanam pravishad gita kirtihi. So this is the first verse which was recited by the disciples of Vyasadeva. And this glorifies the beauty of Krishna. That Krishna is wearing the yellow garments. He is wearing the peacock feather on his head. He is wearing the Kanaka Kapisha, the nice earrings in his ears. He is wearing a Vijayanti Mala. He is playing on his flute. And then he walks in the forest of Vrindavan, attracting everybody's heart and minds. And all the gopas and gopis, they are singing about the glories of Krishna. Shukdev Goswami, when he heard this, he got up from his seat. He got attracted. Oh, who is this person? Such beautiful. But then he immediately sat down again. Oh, this is external beauty. I don't want to get attracted to somebody's external beauty. What is his internal characteristic? Because as I say, right, once we should not glorify somebody because of their external beauty. We should glorify somebody because of their character. So Shukdev Goswami is thinking, what is his character? What is his internal characteristic? I don't want to just get attracted to the external beauty. And then they recited the second verse. Varaha, no. Aho bakiyam stanakala kutam jengapsyapayayadapya sadhavi lebhe gatim dhatriuchitam tatvanyam kamba dayalum sharanam vrajema. Who can be more merciful than him, that he gave shelter, he gave the same destination as mother to this she demoness who came to feed poison to this baby Krishna. Even though this she demon, aho bakiyam, the sister of Bakasur, she smeared the poison onto her breast and came to feed that poison, but Krishna accepted that also and gave her the position of his mother. Who can be more merciful than him? And as Shukdev Goswami heard this, then he finally got up. Oh, I want to hear more about this person. Who is this person? And then he said, I came back to the ashram of my father, Vyasadeva, and I heard that whole Bhagavatam from him. I engaged myself into the Shravanam Kirtanam process. So I am giving my personal example. And I am going to speak that same Srimad Bhagavatam to you now for your next 7 days. So Parikshit Maharaj, when he heard this, he became very happy. Oh, you are going to stay here for the next 7 days till my last breath. So wonderful, so glorious. Because till now I had always heard that you don't stay more than the milking of a cow. So Shukdev Goswami, he He said, I am going to speak about this whole Bhagavatam. But he has already answered the three questions of Parikshit Maharaj. Isn't it? What were the three questions?
What should everyone do?
What should everybody do? What is the duty of everybody in all circumstances? What is specially the duty of somebody who is about to die? What should one hear, chant and remember? And what one should not hear, not chant, not remember? So Shukdev Goswami answered what one should not hear, chant, remember. Don't get entangled into just the household business. Just get engaged in all those topics. And then what is to be heard, remembered, chanted for all people in all circumstances? Hear about the Supreme Lord. Chant His name and remember Him. And at the end, Ante Narayana Smriti. So at the end, that is must. No matter what path one has taken, but he has to remember the Supreme Lord at the end. So Shukdev Goswami answered all three questions of Parikshit Maharaj. It means it's the end of Bhagavatam. But Bhagavatam is actually now starting. So he is saying, I am going to speak Bhagavatam to you now for next 7 days. So what is the reason? He should have told Parikshit, you have 7 days now. I told you what to be done. So now just sit down and chant Hare Krishna for next 7 days. Let him chant. Let him engage in kirtan. But he is saying, I am going to speak. Because before hearing, before kirtanam, before remembering comes shravanam. And what is the importance of shravanam? To give us the faith about that person whom we are going to chant and remember. First we need to develop that strong faith, and shravanam gives that faith. And by hearing the Bhagavatam, we get that faith so that we can enthusiastically engage in the chanting of the holy name. And then we can engage after hearing and chanting, then we are able to remember. It never says smaranam, kirtanam and shravanam. It says shravanam, kirtanam and smaranam. So that's why Shukdev Goswami is going to speak Bhagavatam now, to impart that faith in Parikshit Maharaj, so that after he has heard all that about the glories of the Supreme Lord, even if he chant once with that enthusiasm, that full faith, that one chanting of the name will take him back to the abode of the Supreme Lord. Granthraj Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Anant Koti Vaishnav Vrind ki jai,
Sri Vindranath Prabhu ki jai,
Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So if anybody has any questions, comments. The second canto, first chapter, is titled as First Step in God Realization. Your question, bro?
No, it's just a comment. I've heard Srila Prabhupada say that one can go back home, back to Godhead, just by listening to Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes, because as we discussed, Shravanam is one limb of bhakti. And if one seriously take to any one limb, he can achieve the perfection of life. So just Shravanam can give us the perfection of life. Then somebody may ask, okay, what is the need of chanting? Why we stress so much on chanting? Right? Because ultimately chanting is the Yuga Dharma. And in Bhagavatam, before, when Parikshit Maharaj, Shukdev Goswami said, I am going to speak about Bhagavatam, among the three limbs, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, what is more important or most important? The most important among them is Harer Nam Anukirtanam. Chanting the name of Hari. But why hearing is important then? To give faith for the chanting of name of Hari. So both hearing and chanting are important. And we are not at the level of Parikshit Maharaj that we will sit for 7 days, 7 nights and hear continuously. That's why we need to take little bit of all the limbs of bhakti. We have to do little hearing, little chanting, little practical seva. So everything has to be brought in so that we can control our mind and our senses. Anything else?
Can you briefly talk about the forest of Nameshwaranya, like the significance of the forest?
The forest of Nameshwaranya. So what is the significance of that? The name Nameshwaranya. Aranya means forest. Namesh means it is one third the time taken to blink the eye. The time taken to blink the eye, even the one third of that is Namesh. So when all these sages, they wanted to engage in the welfare activity for the whole human society, Brahma created one wheel, a giant wheel, and put all these sages onto that wheel, and this wheel was thrown, and at the place where this wheel landed, within that moment, Namesh, in that forest area. So that's why this forest became known as Nameshwaranya. So this is one of the, this place is considered as a very holy place.
Where it is? Close to Kanpur.
Close to Kanpur, yes. In the present day Kanpur. So it's close to that place. Any other question, comment?
About Maitreya Rishi and Vidur. So this is when Vidur went to
Maitreya.
So
in Bhagavatam, basically when Shukdev Goswami is speaking Bhagavatam to Parikshit, he is mentioning the various other things that this discussion happened between Maitreya and Vidura. So he is narrating that. He narrates the discussion which happened between Lord Shiva and other sages. He mentioned the discussion which happened between Narada Muni and Yudhishthir Maharaj. So he is quoting all those different historical references.
Not Bhagavatam.
It is part of Bhagavatam.
No, but the conversation which is happening at Nameshwaranya is the recitation of Bhagavatam.
Yes, and in that itself, those all discussions come, which happened between Maitreya and Vidura, Narada and Yudhishthira, so on. Because he is saying, oh, this is question asked by Vidura and this is Maitreya Rishi answered that question. So like that he is quoting various things. So between Bhagavad Katha, there is another Katha going on. And between that Katha, there is another third level Katha going on.
I have a question, a little confused about, like, Sukadeva Goswami talking to Parikshit Maharaj. Then we have Sukadeva Goswami talking to the sages in Nameshwaranya. So this is happening in parallel?
No, it's not happening in parallel. So Shukdev Goswami spoke to Parikshit Maharaj. At that, Sutta Goswami heard. And later on, Sutta Goswami narrated that same to sages of Nameshwaranya, Saunakadi Rishis.
So that would be like hundreds and thousands of years.
Hundreds, maybe few years or 50, 70 years back or later. Any other question, comment? Otherwise we'll end here. So just along with hearing, question is also very important. All these scriptures, they are in the form of question answer. Right? The whole Bhagavatam is question answer, Bhagavad Gita is question answer. And same way other Puranas also, they are all question answer format. Somebody is asking question and then the whole scripture came out in response to that question. So we should not hesitate in asking question, or should not feel shy. Oh, maybe this may be a very dumb question. No question is a dumb question. Yes,
Prabhupada. Describes the later on, maybe the description of the all the Narak lokas.
It comes at the end of fifth canto.
Swargalokas also there. So is it like in the same universe, the Swargaloka Naraka, or different universes got different Naraka?
So within one universe, there are 14 different planetary systems. So within each universe, at the end of that universe, at the bottom of that universe, those are the Narak Loka. So Patal, Sutal, Vital, Atal, then we come to the Earth planet, Bhulok, Bhubhavarlok, then Swargalok, then Taplok, Meharlok, then come to, at the top is Brahmalok. So there are 14 planet, different divisions within one universe.
And the same replicated in every universe?
So in every universe, it's similar situation, maybe little different. There may be more divisions. Right? Within our universe, there are 14 divisions. In our universe, the Brahma is four-headed. In other universe, the Brahma may be 100-headed or 1,000-headed. So every universe, it's similar things, but maybe not exact same. And we don't have to think about all the different universes' structure system. Right? We should focus about what is my goal of life. My goal of life is not to visit from one universe to another universe to another universe. My goal of life is to just go beyond this.
So all the scriptures that we have with us, this pertains to our universe?
Yes. Right. They pertain to our universe. So this Bhagavatam is for the people of Bhulok. In Swargaloka there is another Bhagavatam. And the Sanskrit used in that Bhagavatam is much more difficult. And it's much more bigger. We have got only 18,000 verses.
So that means like we have different Bhagavatam for different universes too? Like,
they may be very well.
All Leelas are different.
So now don't think, oh, I want to go to another universe and hear their Bhagavatam. So don't make the travel plans. Okay, so thank you very much. Grantraj Bhagavatam ki
jai.
So we'll continue our journey in Bhagavatam next week.
So did you finish one chapter?
No.